Hey, church family, my name is Caleb.
And I'm Ava.
And we're so glad you decided to join us for church today. Ava, what do we have coming up?
I only believe we know that prayer has the power to totally transform our lives. And that is why we start each month with First Saturday Prayer. This 1 hour gathering is a time for us to come together and pray corporately and personally, hear an encouraging word, seek after the Lord, and worship together as a church family. And you also have the opportunity to head down to the altar and pick up a prayer card and pray over the needs of others in our church family. So set your reminders and invite a friend, and we cannot wait to pray with you.
Hi, church. I want to share about a volunteer highlight. We've had someone that's been serving this church for probably over 3 decades, and he's been doing it behind the scenes. People don't see him all the time, but you know what? He plays such a big part in making our services go without any issues, without any hitches, without any flaws, and that's Larry Clark. Larry, I want to say thank you for your service to not only this church, but the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Guess what? Because of what you do, because running our sound, being our sound engineer, helping us with our big sound installation just about a year, year and a half ago, you're a big part in people coming to Christ every single week because of what you do behind the scenes. And I want to say thank you for what you do for this church and what you do for the kingdom of God. God bless you, sir.
Baptism is a meaningful next step for anyone who has chosen to follow Jesus. It's a public expression of faith that represents leaving the old behind and stepping into the new life that Christ has given us. It's through baptism that we participate in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, celebrating the transformation that Jesus brings. If you've decided to follow Jesus but have not been baptized, we highly encourage you to do so. We have a heated indoor baptism waiting for you to take this next step. So for more information, or if you'd like to sign up, you can scan the QR code on the screen or head out to the Welcome Center in the lobby. We can't wait to take this next step with you.
Hey everyone, Pastor Randy and Pastor Nicole here, and Easter is quickly approaching, and we have 3 amazing services that we want you to attend.
The first one is the Friday night reflection of Passover. We're excited about this. We do have childcare at 6 p.m. and then we're going to follow that up on Sunday morning at 7 a.m. with a sunrise service outside. Dress warm, there'll be coffee and cocoa, but we're going to do it just like they did.
That's right. And then our last service will be Sunday at 10 a.m. where we're going to celebrate with the whole congregation, and we're going to celebrate, of course, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
We're looking forward to joining our family with your family this Easter. Come on out and join us as a church.
We will see you there.
Ladies, set aside your Saturday morning and join us for Gather on May 2nd at 9:30 a.m. in the lobby. This women's only gathering brings girls of all ages together for a sweet time of conversation, food, and an encouraging word from Pastor Nicole. And please be sure to let us know that you'll be there by scanning the QR code on the bottom of the screen or by heading out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and getting signed up there. And please remember that there will not be childcare for this event. Ladies, we cannot wait to gather with you.
And as always, if you have any questions or want any more information for anything going on here at Only Believe, you can head on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and our team will do the best they can to help you out there. Now, let's prepare our hearts and minds as we dive into God's Word today.
Hallelujah. Good morning, Only Believe. You are a church filled with purpose. Purpose. And you have been called by God to live according to His Word and fulfill it. Isn't that amazing? That He chose you, that He knew that you would be here on this day, in this seat, to hear this Word, expecting that you would hear it and go out and do what the Word says. Woo! Amen. I'm excited already. Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. Father, we just give you our hearts. We give you our minds today. Father, I give you my lips, and I just ask you, Holy Spirit, to move through me as your vessel. Father, that the word would go out from my mouth, like as Jeremiah would say, like a hammer, and break up the fallow ground in our hearts, God. That it would break up those hard spaces that can't hear, that can't receive, that can't get the Holy Spirit deep down in it. God, that you would change our lives and transform us, that we would be made into your image. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, my name is Pastor Nicole, and I'm one of the senior pastors here along with my husband, Randy, in case you're a visitor. For the rest of you, I know you already know that. But before we get started, I want to be sure and say a thank you to all of you that stayed last week
for the and prayed after service for the healing night that happened. And number two, for all of you that came and brought somebody that was sick in their body, their mind, or anything else that they needed healing of. Amen. We've had multiple testimonies, but the one that stands out the most, and I had it on my phone, but I can't load it up. It's fine. I'm just going to go from memory. One of our prayer team members down here was down here with a boy, Tyler, and Tyler's being brought into the prayer team, but he's having to work with somebody while he does it. And they prayed over a cyst on a woman's hand, I believe, a cyst, and it immediately, it was gone. And like that, it just went and went down. I think that's neat. We had ringing in ears that was healed, which, by the way, if you've never had ringing in your ears, it is like a tormenting devil, amen, because you can't hear nothing but the ringing. So that was gone. We had another testimony, but it was told the night of the miracle service. Brother Jesse or Jamie and his wife Jesse were praying over someone, and they had a scan done of their lungs, and all of the stuff that was in the lungs was now gone. It was no longer present after they had come, but she had come for another miracle because God had done the first. Amen. Is that not the God we serve? Is he a good God? Amen. I want to take time. I know this sounds crazy because you're all ready to receive the word. But I think it's time that we stand and give God thanks for what he did. Amen. We can ask him for stuff, but can we thank him when he comes through? Can we thank him when our lives are changed? Can we thank him when transformation happens? Amen. Because that's where it's at, Lord. We thank you, God, for your goodness. We thank you that you care. God, we thank you that you hear us when we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Miracles aren't for yesterday. They are for today. They are for tomorrow. They are for infinity. Amen. Hallelujah. God, we love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Father, we are a grateful church. All right, you can be seated. You can be seated. And you know, miracles, I need to take that back. I don't know that they're for infinity. They're in for infinity while we're alive. I don't think we need miracles when we all get to heaven with a new earth and a new created heaven, are we? Praise the Lord. All right, so today we're going to continue in our seven I Am statement series. And these are the seven statements that Jesus Christ himself says as he's teaching about his born identity. He's teaching us about who he is. It's important for you and I that we know God. This is important for you and I. This is one of our visions for your life, that you would know him, that you would know what it's about, his identity, because when you do, you can't help but want to be like him. And that's what you and I have been allowed to have. Everything that Jesus went to the cross for, he put away all of sickness. He put all of disease away. He put your old man away, and he chose to give you a new way of living. And that's available to you and I if we believe it. If we will receive it by faith, all of it can be ours. Amen? So today we're learning about, last week we learned about I am the gate. We've had I am the light of the world. But this week we're going to be talking about I am the good shepherd. Now I say good because that's very important for you and I. The word good doesn't mean that he's terrible. Does it mean he's mean-spirited? It doesn't mean he's sinful. It means he's notable. He's worthy. He's full, you ready? Of holiness. That's who he is. I am that I am. We learned that back in Exodus. That's where we started on the first week. Because it's important that we don't see God as I was. Or everything that he was is just a memory. I don't want a marriage that was. I want a marriage that is. I don't want a job that was employed. I want a job that I am employed. Because it's present tense. God is so many things through Jesus to you and I. So many things. But one important is that he is the good shepherd. Look at your neighbor and say good. Guess what? There's no evil in him. Do you get that? There is no evil in him. When it says that he's a shepherd, it means that Christ has laid down his life for us. Woo! Laid down his life. Remember last week when we talked about I am the gate? How the shepherd would sit in the gate as the doorway, that he was the entrance into eternity. He is the entrance into Christianity. He is the entrance of you and I. We get to enter into right relationship with God because of the gate. But once you get in the gate, you are promised that he is a good shepherd. So whether you like it or not, we're going to learn about sheep today. Hope that's all right with you. But we're going to start in John 10. Yeah? No. Oh, Randy, I heard that. He said that sounds like a bad situation. John 10, 14, 16. Here's what it says. It says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. And the reason my Father loves me is that I will lay down my life only to take it up again. Let's keep going back there. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up. This command I received from my Father. Now, we did see that he's the good shepherd, but what is he talking about that he lays his life down? I have the authority. What he's saying is, I'm choosing to give my life for you. This isn't something God looked at Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God are all up there going, well, I don't want to be the one that goes on the cross. Well, I don't want to be the one. Well, maybe you should. That's not what this is. Jesus stepped up to the plate and said, I love them so much, I will become their sacrifice. I will lay my life down for them because I am the good shepherd. John tells us later on in the chapter, 19:30, it says that he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It was never taken from him. It was gave. Remember, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That means that to have sin in your life needs to be gone. So he said, because we love them, because I love them, I will lay my life down. God, because you love them so much, you're willing to send me. I will willingly give my life for those sheep. Whew. Sheep. That's what we're called. Jesus had authority to save himself, yet he chose not to for you and I. This tells us something. This tells us of his love for you and I, that he would lay down his life. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I think I would lay my life down for my children. I would do anything for my children. Like if they were going to be hit from a bus, I would step in front of that bus for them. I don't know that I would do that for every person of my godly family. Do you hear me? I'm being real transparent here. But it says that a brother lays down his life for one another, that we love each other so much. Can you imagine? Can you imagine laying down your life, your physical life, for someone? Do you identify? This love is not of an earthly way. This love is not the way you and I love. If a father in this earth can take care of his children and it's evil, that's what the Bible says. He says that when a father takes care of the earthly children in his evil way, meaning that you can be doing it the best way you could, you will still never come close to fathering like our Heavenly Father would father us. So I don't even know that it's possible without Christ that you and I can even fathom the depth and the height, the width, the length of this love that compelled Jesus to go to the cross for you and I. Onward in the scripture, it talks about the sheep that are not of this sheep pen.
And it says, they too will listen to my voice. Look, Jesus is of the Jewish people. The Jews are his first sheep. The Old Testament, written to the Jews. This was about their life, how he brings them out. They're put into captivity. They worship other gods. Yes, that's a typology that we're to look at and go, we too are children of God. But the New Testament, remember, Paul was born again so that he could preach to the Gentiles. That is you and I. We are not of Jewish descent. I'm too white to be Jewish. Let's be real. I might have a nose that would fit the profile, but I don't have the skin color. I would love the skin color. That's amazing to be olive skinned. I had a girlfriend like that. She always made me jealous. Anyway, she could use baby oil to tan. Whatever. Anyways, we are the Gentiles and we're grafted in as family. We're the adopted child. But there's nothing held back from us because we're adopted. It's all given to us. Jesus says there will be one group of sheep and one shepherd. There's no Jew, no Gentile, no male, no female, no slave, no free. We are all a part of the family of God. Do you understand that? So just because he's talking about it doesn't mean you're exempted. Anyone that Christ would come, he would lay down his life for all of the world. All of the world. Not just those who look good. Not just those who haven't committed murder. Not just those who live in a certain area. Not through those of a certain skin color or age or demographic. All the world. That's who he laid his life down for. And all who would repent. All who would repent. Could now be accepted in to God's great kingdom and have eternal life. Don't exempt people from the gospel because of our own belief. Let's go to John 10:3-5. We're going to back up a little bit because this will give us a really clear picture of what this looked like in the Old Testament. In the New Testament. It said, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Now, in the olden days when there were sheep herders, you could be a shepherd that had a group of sheep. And you'd come into town with your sheep. And maybe that was to sell some of them. Maybe it was to get them inspected. Maybe it was to, you just need water and food for these sheep. Because you've been out to pasture so long, but it's been dry out there. So you need a place where they can get watered, where you can really settle down, take a look at your sheep. Well, the shepherd would go to this big old gate where all the shepherd brought their sheep. And they'd put them in the gate. And the guy would open the gate, let them all in. Lock the gate, and then he would stand there and keep guard until the shepherd came back for his sheep. But when the shepherd came back for his sheep, listen to this, the shepherd would stand at the gate and just begin to call. I found out this is called whooping. In the shepherd scene, they would whoop and holler for their sheep. And because they would all be intermingled with all these other sheep from all other sheepfolds. They didn't know. He didn't know. They didn't mark them with big tags on their ears then. They didn't do anything. You literally, they knew him by his voice. Guess what? You don't listen? When it's time for the shepherd to call, you don't know you're supposed to leave the sheep gate. Here you are stuck with a whole bunch of other sheep. You start looking around. You're like, where's Martha? I don't know. Where's Martha? Martha, did you? Martha! Looking for Martha. They can't find Martha. You want to know why? Because Martha's gone. Because Martha heard the shepherd's voice when it was time to leave a certain location. And now the other one's been left behind because they didn't hear the voice of the shepherd. I'm trying to tell you something, that you and I need to be sure that we're listening for the voice of our shepherd. Because when he calls, he's calling for us. And though a big trumpet will give its sound. And if you are right with God, you'll hear the trumpet sound. If you're not, you won't know that it's time. And you'll wonder what's going on and why you've been left behind. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? I want to hear the trumpet. I want to hear the call of my shepherd when he says, it's time to come home. Let's roll. Let's roll. He goes in, he makes a call, and all of his sheep start coming to him. You want to know why? They don't only know his voice, but a sheep can hold up to 40 faces and voices in its memory. Do you know that sheep are social animals? That'll be a good one for all you introverts out there, just like me. You need each other. You need to have relationship one with another. Sheep know other sheep. And if you come in 10 minutes after service and you leave 10 minutes before service, I'm going to tell you later, you're going to see a little demonstration. God's going to put a hook around your neck and he's going to pull you close. And you say, you're not allowed over there by yourself. You got to come into the fold because there's protection inside the fold. My mom has said for years, I use it in every membership class. If you have a group of bananas on your counter, a group, they're all attached with that, you know, and there's one single one right next to the bunch, which one are you going to peel and eat? Exactly. And the devil does the same. The devil comes in and looks for those who are singled out. And when you're singled, he just grabs it and peels it like nothing and eats it, and you're gone. All of a sudden, the banana that was on the counter is just gone. They stop showing up at church. They stop hanging out. They stop showing up to Dream Team celebrations. They don't want to be involved in the church. You want to know why? Because the enemy has got to them on the side. But when you're in a group, there's safety in numbers. There's safety and protection in that group. And guess what? This banana says to the other banana, how are you doing this week? I'm sorry that's going on. Maybe I can pray with you. You know banana people. Anyways. There was two or three things that were important in that. The shepherd called out to them. The sheep listened to his voice. And he said, then when they listened, he led them out. Some of you are wanting God's leading. Some of you are wanting him to talk to you. But you're walking around like this, doing your own thing. And God says, you've got to take off your hands, take off your pride, take off your selfishness, and let me lead you. You do not know better for your life. You think you do, and look where that's got you. I know what I have in plan and in store for your life. If you would just open up those ears and listen to my voice, I will lead you. And let me tell you something. Shepherds lead from the front. Shepherds lead from the front. It's not that they always stay in the front. There are times shepherds have to go into the mix of that flock to look around for damage that's done, to look for diseases, to look at things. There's time that the shepherd has to go to the behind and see who's lazy, who's not making this pace, who's not keeping up with the group. And maybe I need to go spur it on so it can get over and get in the group. But 9 times out of 10, the shepherd is leading when you're on a journey from the front. I don't want to go anywhere. My shepherd hasn't gone before me. Some of us, we're adventurous. We just think he should keep up with us. I'm going to go take this job. Woo! Then I'm down over here. I'm going to come over here. And he's just like, geez, if you could just sit still long enough to listen to my voice and to hear what I'm trying to say to you. But you don't, because if you're not moving, you don't think you're growing. Because if you're not doing something in the natural, you feel like you're not going anywhere. That's not true. We're going to find out today what the shepherd leads us to. He leads us to places. But if you don't hear him call, number one, and listen to his voice, you will never be able to follow. Sheep have total dependence upon God. That's it. We cannot do anything without him. Let me tell you why. Sheep have a fight or flight mentality. And 90% of the time, a sheep will flight in every situation. They will not fight. This is where we understand that God fights for us. Well, thank God he does, because he knew we weren't the fighting type if we didn't have to. Do you know that sheep run away from danger? They won't scatter to make the enemy have to choose which way to go. They will literally stay together. Now, they can run fast. They can run fast when they have to. But you ready for this? They run uphill. What? I would choose the least path of resistance. Why are we running up and working our thighs if we don't have to?
I prefer my walker just like this, not that incline. That's terrible. That burns right here. But they run up. You want to know why? Because they got good feet. And they can run up stones and rocks. God made you able to go uphill when everything else says it should go easy. When everything else says you could take the easy road. God says, no, no, no. I want you to come up higher where I am. I want you to come into safety. And I'm going to be fighting on the downside for you. You get up. You go up away from the enemy. And I'll take care of what's left here. That's who he is. Let's go to Psalms, the 23rd chapter. I've toyed with this, and I thought, God, Psalms, the 23rd chapter, really? This is what we, you know, pray over people when they die. But it's kind of important because I figured out of all the Psalms we could read, or out of all the stories, why wouldn't we hear from a shepherd himself? David, King David. Some of you know him as David, the guy that killed Goliath. But this David turned into a king. But before he was a king, he was just a shepherd. Sounds a little scary, doesn't it? But remember, David wasn't just a shepherd. David killed a lion and a bear because they were after his father's sheep. Get the correlation? They weren't even his sheep. They were his father's sheep. And he had been sent ahead to watch over them and keep them sheep safe from anything that would come in danger. Jesus, sent by his father, would come to do his father's will and would lay down his life for you and I. Take a chance, take a risk. But this wasn't a risk. He knew he was going to lose his whole life. And it didn't matter because he was going to take it back up again. This is called the Pearl of Psalms, and we're going to read the whole thing, though we're not going to break down every part of it today because of time. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Period. Did you read that? That's all I have to read right there if you want to know the truth. Because that just told me everything I need to know about God being the good shepherd. Period. I lack nothing. What does that tell me? If there's lack in my life, in a situation, then there's some place in my life that I have not allowed the good shepherd to come into and to transform. Right now, some of you are making a list. That's a good place to be. That's a real good place to be. If there's something in your life that does not look good, if there's something in your life that you keep coming up to and there's always a lack, then there's a place in your life that you have not allowed the good shepherd to come in and shepherd. Notice what I said. Had nothing to do with him not being it. Had to do with us not allowing it. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely, your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Man, I wish we could sit here longer than a week. There is so much richness and so much depth to that. But there's a couple points that I want to get to. Number one, the word shepherd in the Hebrew means ra'ah. Ra'ah. It simply means that it's to pasture, to tend, to feed, to be the friend of, to be a companion to. To be a companion to. I think of David when he said he was a friend of God. I am a friend of God. Can we look at our relationship and say that I'm so close to the shepherd that he's my companion and my friend and that I know him and he knows me? That I can hear his voice when he speaks and I can respond that fast. That I don't have to ask my fellow sheep, what did the Lord say? Do you have a word for me? Don't get me started on that. Every word you need is right here in this Bible. And if you're looking for a person to give you a word, then you don't know the shepherd's voice and you got to draw closer to the Lord. I'm telling you, 9 times out of 10, every word I receive, I don't want. Because when you get it comes a responsibility to walk that word out. And you have to start using your faith to walk towards something that God said about your life. And that takes tenacity. That takes patience. It takes you being able to be focused on what God says and to not stop it. Because when God speaks, you are to obey. I don't need a word from a man. I need a word from God, and let me walk accordingly to that word until I know that I know that I know that I know that I've done everything I can to help and walk in the way that I should go to not let that word fall to the ground and not happen. Some of you have words that you've let fall to the ground. God says, go back and get them because my word has not changed. My command for your life has not changed. Some of us wonder, why is not God doing what he wants to do in our life? I don't understand. I just don't know why. I'm just stagnant. I'm still. Why have you obeyed since the last time he told you? Go back to that step. Listen, I was in prayer probably 3 or 4 days ago, and the Lord said, what'd you do with this? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I keep a book with me when I pray. And I write down things in this book that I hear him speak to me. And if he tells me to do something, then I make sure that I do my best to do it. And one of the just got behind me. I totally forgot. It was so good in the moment. And I wrote it down. I'm like, yes. And then 3 days later, I just totally forgot about it. How do you forget about God speaking to you like that? But I did. And I felt him unction me. Go back to the book. Look at your book. See what it said. And do what I told you to do. And when you do that, I'll be faithful to follow through. But you got to do what I ask when I ask you to do it. And don't hesitate. Remember, to delay is to disobey. There's a lot of reasons we delay. The Bible tells us in Matthew 6:8, for the Lord knows what we have need of even before we ask. Your shepherd is not distant. He is in your ever-present moment. Whatever you are going through, he is with you. You might not hear him speaking, but he is there. You might not feel his gentle nudge every single day, but know that he is there. This was a scripture in Isaiah. It says in 65:24 in Isaiah, it says, listen to this, this is so good. I will answer them before they even call on me. While they are still talking about their needs, I will go ahead and I will answer their prayers. What? Even when he hears you voicing your need to someone, not in faith, just voicing that need, he's hearing you. I just heard a story this morning with Joe. His electric was out in his house. All of a sudden, this stranger drives down his road, pulls out one of his grandsons, and is like, hey, you need a generator for electric? And Joe's like, yeah. He was telling Ashley and I about it. A stranger comes, hooks up a generator, gives them power. Then the power company comes and turns it on, and he realizes that he never even said he needed a generator, but he thought it in his mind. So God sends a stranger in a red truck with a generator and a 5-gallon gas can and fills it up and says, here, I'm going to help you hook it up, and gives them power to their house. What? Didn't even say he needed it, but thought it. Before you even ask or think, God is ready to respond. The shepherd provides everything that you and I have need of. Everything. And I say this because I want you to be sure that you're really aware of what this means. Everything you have need of. Mentally. If your soul is not prospering, if you are hurt, if you are broken, if you are downcast, if you are anxious, everything you have need of, he has. Everything. Everything. One person, yes, one person gets it. Everything I have need of, he has provided. You're not talking about a God that has not shown himself faithful. He brought the Jews out into the wilderness or the big desert, and he doesn't, there's not a tree in the desert that can give you shade. But he says, I'll just have this cloud
like on Charlie Brown. I think it follows Linus around, or the stinky one. I don't know which one. This cloud, I'm going to follow you around wherever you go because I want you to have shade because the heat is so intense out here. And then I'm going to give you a rock. And I'm gonna pour some water out so you can drink. And then in the nighttime or in the morning, I'm gonna drop down bread, fresh made bread for you and your families. Don't worry about it getting stale, because the next day I'm gonna do the same thing again. You don't even have to bag it up because it's not gonna keep. Now, ladies, let me tell you, this means there are no leftovers in heaven. And for this girl, I'm really happy. I hate leftovers. I hate packing them up. I hate having to worry about how much to gauge because I don't want to waste. God's like, just eat what you want. The rest of it, it's all just going to go back to the earth, and I'm going to make more the next morning and have it out. And it's going to fall. If you got out there at the right times, I bet you could have just put your shirt out and not even had to carry a basket. Like, just think of that. Dinner made. And I didn't have to do it. He knew what they needed, and he provided all they had need of. Did they like the way he provided? I'm going to be honest with you. No. They griped and complained about everything that he provided, but they didn't have a need. Their shoes did not even wear out. For some of you shoeaholics, that's terrible because you love it when your shoes wear out. For those of us that only have 5 pair, no one cares. I don't have just 5 pairs. I do have more than that. It says he makes me lay down in green pastures. Now I'm going to talk to the people that love to work right here. He makes us rest even though we don't want to. Come on, hear me out now. I'm going to talk right at you. I'm going to talk to you physically, because physically you need to rest. You need a Sabbath, and you need time to let your mind rest. Our staff, last week, I think it was, they were here. It seemed like we'd been running Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They had all day rehearsals with the windstorms. People were on the roofs. People were picking up nails. It was a lot of work. And we said, you know what? No one's coming in on Monday. No one's coming in on Monday. Everybody stay home. Stay home on Mondays. Come in on Tuesday. And I'm telling you what, we came in on Tuesday, and some of us girls were talking. We're like, we didn't even realize how bad we needed that day. We literally did nothing but just exist. And it felt amazing to just exist and not have anything to do. What is that? That's God making you rest and laying you down in green pastures. It's everything that you need of is right there. But let me tell you, this is what happened. As sheep, we lay down. And then we think, oh, I got to get up. I forgot about this. Lay down. No, I got to do this, Lord. I need 20 more bucks. I'm going to do this. No, I can take on those overtime hours at work. Oh, I need this. And the kids got soccer. Stop. Give it rest. And take the time that is needed for your soul to heal and to unwind and to give it rest. Some of you need emotional rest mentally. Some of you, your mind never stops. It never stops worrying. It never stops fretting. It never stops trying to fix a problem that there is no fixing to without God. That's it. You're just backed up against a wall and you're like, God, I'm done. I surrender everything to you because I can't fix it. There are multiple situations I walk away from during the week that I go, nope. Emotionally, I can't give that space. Why? Because I can't fix it. See, this is the difference. You can come for counseling, for financial counsel, for marriage counsel, for should I go to college counsel? Should I become a physics educator? I don't know. The pastor's job is the only job that I'm supposed to be everything that I'm not. I'm going to teach you the Word of God, and the Word of God is going to teach you the life skills that you need to get through this life. But I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not a marriage counselor, although I do counsel marriages. I'm not a parenting problem fixer. We can try, and that's what the church is here for. But ultimately, at the end of the day, I walk away and say, God, they are your sheep, and only you can fix the problem. Draw them to you. Draw them to walk with you. Draw them to lay down when it's time to rest. Draw them by still waters and nourish their souls. Give them what they need. I am only human, but God is superhuman. And everything you have need of, he's the good shepherd.
on the greatest day I'm a pastor, it comes nothing close to what our shepherd looks like. Nothing. Know his voice and listen. The last place I want to talk about today is what I feel are two of the strongest parts. Your rod and your staff comfort me. These are essential tools to the shepherd. And the rod was simply this. Andrew's got a photo for me today. The rod was the one on, they would be this side, not the one with the hook, the other one. And this was like a big billy club. And what this represented was the shepherd's power and authority. Power and authority in the life. And this was the protection for the sheep. Not the correction of the sheep. The protection of the sheep. So when the lion and the bear came, David didn't use this. David used his little slingshot. He was probably really good at that. There's no way that Goliath was his first shot. No way. I think he had had time out there, and he just practiced, and he got so good with that. And he's like, that billy club's too heavy to hold. I'm just going to carry my slingshot. But for most shepherds, that's what they used. And that's what they would beat off the lion and the bear with. And they would go out, snake, bam, just hit it right on the head, done. Why? Because it was for protection. It was power and authority. Your shepherd, your good shepherd, has power and authority over the enemy. You have been given power and authority when you use your shepherd's name. Do you remember that? Do you remember that? So when you, look, that tool right there, 2.5 foot long, is all you need to ward off the enemy. And God says, I'm going to fight for you. You take to the hills. You call out my name. And when you call out my name, I'm going to show up on the scene. And I'm going to defeat the enemy because you are my sheep. And then there's the staff. Now, I didn't have a billy, I didn't have that other thing, that rod. But we have one of these. By the way, this is a really nice set of PVC that's bent. Isn't that neat? I like the way things are made. This is his staff. And it says, your rod and your staff comfort me. How would the rod and the staff comfort if that rod is meant to hurt something? Because you can take comfort in knowing that God comes to fight for you. You can take comfort in knowing that you're not just left to yourself, to the enemy's vices, that he is fighting on your behalf when you ensue in Jesus' name. The staff has a different purpose. The staff brings comfort through, you ready for this? This is not power and authority. This is correction. Did you hear me? Correction. This isn't like a whip. Notice, it's not made for that. It's got this nice little hook in here. You want to know why? Because this hook does the work for the shepherd. It allows him to reach over into the flock and pull one of them that might be in trouble. They might just be tail biting, tail bearing. And the shepherd will stick this hook in the midst of the flock, wrap it around the neck of the other one, and pull it to him. And say, now listen to me, Martha. I've talked to you before about this tail bearing, and you're going to stop, or I'm going to correct you, and I'm going to discipline you for what you're doing. You're not allowed to hurt other people in the flock. You're not allowed to go telling gossip rumors about your friend. You understand me? You're not allowed to discuss this with other people. You're not allowed to act like you're praying. I knew you thought you were having a prayer meeting, and you thought you'd discuss everybody's business first so you could pray about it. But I'm telling you, I ask you to pray in secret. You pray for that sister by yourself. Now, go on, get along, get back in the fold, and mind yourself. That's what he does. Sometimes the shepherd needs the hook because he needs to pull one that's on the outside. The ones that's excluded from the rest because they're introverts and they don't want to be a part of the party. I feel your pain. He gently pulls them back off the slope. Why? Because there's protection in the fold. He gently nudges, maybe some from behind. They're a little behind. They're slow. What are they? They're lazy in their word, lazy in their prayer, not doing the things of God, yet they're frustrated, mad, throwing a fit. But the flock's going on ahead of them. He's like, here, Come on, let's go. You can do it. You got it. Come on, let's go. Sometimes he draws us close so we can see really what's happening in our soul. Sometimes he draws you close because he realizes there's a little bit of blood coming from by your ear and that you have an ear infection and you began to believe the lies of the devil. And now you have an earache and an infestation and the devil's coming through and talking to you 24 hours a day and telling you things that aren't true. And you're starting to believe that everyone in the flock is against you. You're starting to believe that God doesn't love you. That's not it at all. He brings you in close so that he can examine you and go, it's all right. It's all right. Is your leg hurt? Here, let me carry you. Puts him on his shoulders and starts to carry the flock. You're going to be all right. I love you. I'd give my life for you. This is not who you are. You're God's chosen. That's your family, and that's your friends. When you get well, I'm going to put you back down, and you're going to be fine. Don't you worry. Mind you, these shepherds can only carry one sheep at a time. God's not like that. He can stack hundreds high. A great pastor once told me, he said, Pastor Nicole, you'll never be able to meet every need of all the people in the church. You can only carry one sheep at a time. He said, but trust me, God's more than you'll ever be for them, and he's enough. Church, God is your great and mighty shepherd. He never fails you. He never gets tired. He never goes to sleep. He does not slumber. He's always present for you. Amen. Always. And that discipline, that love, that's correction. And that's okay because that correction is what leads me in the path of righteousness so that I don't slip in the slippery mud and go, you know where, to hell. Stand at your feet this morning. We cannot avoid God's discipline or his chastening. And the waywardness of our sheep or our hearts is simply out of rebellion and pride. Today, I'm going to ask the prayer team to come down front. And we're going to pray today for those who would like to be able to hear the voice of the Lord better. Better. If you're present in our church today, chances are you know God. But you might not know him as your personal Savior. You know about him. I want to offer Jesus to you today, as we do every Sunday. Because that's what we're really about. If you would like Christ to come into your heart today, or maybe you've never heard the gospel message before, and you're like, Pastor Nicole, I want to be a part of that flock. I want to be a part of the family of God. And I want to be led differently than I'm being led now. Every eye closed, every head bowed. If you feel the drawing of the Lord on your heart and your spirit today, that's called conviction. That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It's an invitation to say yes to the Lord. That's all. It's an invitation for him to come into your life and turn some things around. I'm not promising you a life without valleys. We just read that in my darkest valley, he is with us. Never leaves or forsakes his children. That's what I can promise you. And when you do things according to his way, and you actively trust in Jesus as the good shepherd, I'm gonna be real. Life is better, even though there's ups and downs. If that's you, just simply raise your hand this morning and say, that's me, Pastor Nicole. I want to give my life to Christ today. Amongst this body of believers, I want to say yes to Jesus today. Is there anyone in the house that would say that? I'm not going to take a lot of time here today. I want to make it available to you. Anyone that would be bold enough, strong enough to say it today. All right. The prayer team is here today because I want to pray for every believer. You've heard the call of God on your life.
He's called you to salvation. He's called you to be a better mother. He's called you to be a better employee, whatever you want to say that calling looks like. But I believe he's calling out to you. But you're like, Pastor Nicole, I feel dull in my senses to the Spirit. I feel like I don't hear him as often as I'd like. I need a little bit more guidance. I need to know that he's with me. Then today's for you. And I just believe that God's going to begin to open up your ears, open up your senses, and begin to speak to you in a clear way about some things that maybe you haven't had clear, decisive clarity on in this moment. But I'm telling you, we're coming into a time, guys. Listen, the world thinks that we're falling apart. I heard this said by Brother Shuttlesworth. It makes my heart so full. He said, the world is not falling apart. It's simply falling into place. It's falling into prophetic place of what this time looks like in our life. But I'm here to tell you that hearing the voice of God, hearing, being able to discern the spirits and what's happening in our world today is of the utmost importance. And I'm telling you that right now, right here today, God is saying, I'm available if you will just see me as the Good Shepherd. Let me have it. And let me lead you through this life. If you need to hear that more, or maybe you've made some mistakes in your life that you're like, I just talked to a lady this week in the office, and she said, Pastor Nicole, if I'd have just seen what God was doing, if I'd have just listened a little sooner, all of this would be warded off. God's trying to save you from that place. He's got his hook around your neck, and he's trying to draw you closer so you'll hear his voice clearly. Some of us have gotten too far away from him, and he's drawing us home, saying, just come closer to me, the shepherd, and I'll lead you every step of the way. If that's you, the altar's open to you today. We're going to be ministering to people through the end of the service, whatever that looks like. I'm going to ask for those of you that want to fellowship and hang out. The church is still open. Just go out there and do it, because we're going to be praying in here. And we're going to be ministering to people. There's no right or wrong to be in this aisle or in this prayer. I'm going to be real with you. I wouldn't let this moment pass me by for nothing anymore. When I did this message, I said, oh God, that I would be close to the shepherd's staff. That I would be close to your rod, that in the sight of the enemy's grip, that he could not snatch me away. That I would know you, and that I would walk right beside you. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We give you this day, we give you our time. Father, I ask that you would bless us and be with those, Father, that travel out this week. Father, as I do every week, I'm asking for a divine appointment for every person in here to know and to meet someone that doesn't know Jesus, that would hear the voice of God telling them, speak my name and tell them about me. God, that not one that would cross our path, Father, would not be ministered to this week and hear the message of Jesus. Now, Father, for the rest of us, God, we just give you our hearts and our minds right now. Father, we're just asking, God, that you would reveal to us, what we're not listening to. Father, begin to speak louder and clearer in our lives. And Father, each one of these prayer team members, God, today, we anoint each one of them, Father, saying that, God, you have called on the mature elders of the church. That's what you said. Call on the elders of the church and be prayed for. Now, Father, they're coming down today to be prayed for, God, by the mature in faith. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that you answer our prayers. Church, if you're not in prayer line, we love you. We will see you on Wednesday night, where Pastor Jared has a message on how to study the Bible, and small groups will ensue and continue to go forward. And until then, we'll see you later. We love you all. Those who would like prayer will be waiting. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, let's go. Look at that. Mm-hmm. I love you. I'm sweaty and hot. I'm sorry. Oh, hallelujah. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we speak to these spiritual ears, and God, we command them to come open.
right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we lay down our pride. We lay down our waywardness and our rebellion, Father. And we submit our ways to you, God. In all ways, God, let us acknowledge you. Now, Father, begin to speak at a higher level, God, that we can hear. Take away the dullness. Take away the pain. Take away the brokenness, God, right now in the name of Jesus. And I command her to be set free right now in the name of Jesus. Do you have unforgiveness in your heart? Okay. All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God. She's given you that unforgiveness. No more to come back. Father, right now in Jesus' name, she gives it to you. She surrenders it to you. And Father, you're going to